really sorry that I can't sing as much as I'd like to. I sit here trying to save my voice for the message, and so I'm certainly in my heart and mind singing the songs with you, but my voice doesn't always want me to do that just before I speak right now. So let's turn to Luke 18. Luke 18. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever tried to impress someone? You've tried to impress someone. Maybe it was a job interview. And you tried to impress someone, so you were at your very best. You were in a tie and you were ready to just really try to make the best impression you could. Maybe it was your first date with someone, and you are trying to do everything just right so you can leave a good impression. Maybe it's a sports tryout, and you're trying to make the team, and so you're going to do your very best. I hope there are times when you try to impress your parents, impress your teachers with just a little bit extra. Now, I know this is going to perhaps sound a little corny to some of the young people here tonight, but way back in, I think I was in about the 10th grade, the thing. Back then. Now, I know that you're going to think this is corny, some of you, but they sold his and her matching shirts. And couples would wear matching shirts. One was definitely a her shirt because it buttoned the way women's shirts button, and one was a his shirt. And I had been trying to impress a certain young lady at our church and wanted her to know how much I cared. So I bought a special set of his and her shirts and gave her one for her birthday, which she promptly refused. Needless to say, I didn't make a very good impression. I've told you many times about my interview as a youth pastor with Pastor David Cummins in Michigan. And Pastor Cummins, I learned to my own expense at times, was quite a character, and he liked to tease. While I was being interviewed, and I was trying to do everything just perfect because he was going to decide whether I was going to come on his staff, he offered me a piece of candy out of a candy box, and I took a piece and I bit into it, and it was really, really hard. So I slipped it into my coat pocket a little later. And then a little later in the interview, he offered me a second piece of candy. And I said, Pastor Cummins, I said, I don't mean to be rude, but you ought to throw that candy out. It is so stale, I couldn't even bite it. And then he started laughing. And the whole box of candy was fake plastic candy. And I had left teeth marks halfway through that piece of plastic candy. He's lucky I didn't break a tooth on that. But you know what he was doing? He was seeing how I would respond to being teased. So that was part of the interview, and I didn't even know it. Tonight, I want us to just, for a few moments, I talked to Paige a little bit earlier if they had heard from Luana and Whitney, and they said yes, they did, and they should be home about 7:40 tonight. Well, I will dismiss just a couple minutes before that so that you can get home in time to see them. So I have about an hour to preach here tonight. Luke 18. How to impress God, or how not to impress God. Let's read starting in verse 9, 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Get this, who's he talking to? A group of people who are trusting where? In themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. So get the picture. These are people who think they're pretty good and that they're better than everybody else. Here's his parable to this group of people. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And I can just myself see that somewhere close by is the publican. So as he is praying to God, he's not only praying but pointing out the publican sitting there or standing there. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Question. How many of you tonight want to impress God? Now you say, well, wait a minute. Isn't that works and isn't that proudful? No. The truth is, we should all desire to impress God. You need to impress God. You must impress God. Now, let me back off a little bit and say, not to gain salvation, but you need to impress God. And so, tonight, very quickly, we're going to look at these two men. These men have several similarities. Let's look at the similarities first. Two men went into the temple, so they went to the same place, the temple. On the same day, at the same time, for the same reason, to pray. So up to this point, they're just alike. Two men, same place, same time, same day, same reason, in the temple. To pray. But now there's a whole lot of contrasts going on here. One was religious. One was wretched. One was respectable. One was despicable. One was good. One was bad. One was a Pharisee. One was a publican. Not a Republican, a publican. One, if we just looked on outward situations, would probably impress us. One was probably one who would not impress us. But as we read in this passage, one of them impressed God, and one of them did not impress God. In verse 14, we have the conclusion of this whole situation. One of these two men it says, went down to his house justified. Now that word justified is a very strong word, isn't it? We know the very simple definition of justified, don't we? Just as if I'd never sinned. So he went back to his home in the eyes of God, righteous. Now remember, don't try to pour this over into too much into today, because Christ had not died yet. Christ was not, had he not yet paid the price for sin and justified us in that sense, but he went home right with God. Right? He went home right with God. And we have to answer this question, why? Well, before we answer that question, let's look at why the Pharisee didn't impress God. Well, there are a couple of reasons why he didn't impress God. He didn't impress God because he was impressed with himself too much. He was self-impressed. Notice what it said, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He had a pretty good impression of himself, didn't he? He was not as other men are. He was not like this publican. We know that God's word warns us in several places that we should not, what, think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We've been told in God's word to be careful about comparing ourselves with ourselves. That's unwise. And so here's a man who is certainly impressed with himself. But this man not only was more interested in impressing himself than impressing God, he also was more interested, number two, in impressing others more than he was interested in impressing God. For what did he say? He said there in verse 12, in case you missed it, everybody listen. He was praying loudly so that everybody could hear. In case you missed it, everybody, I fasted twice this week. And I gave tithes of all that I possess. So he's making sure everyone else knows what a great guy he is. Now, someone suggested he may have even used sign language here. You know, he's using sign language perhaps in pointing out the publican and said, I'm not as this publican. Notice I didn't point to anybody out there. I pointed to the organ. But he also could have used this kind of sign language. Two for ten. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes. Now we know that those weren't originally part of the Ten Commandments, but he's letting everybody know about his own righteous acts. He fasted and he faithfully tithed. When he was filling out his Christian service report, he was making sure he got all the information down of what he'd been doing. He was trying to draw attention to himself so that he could impress others. In Matthew chapter 6, we have several warnings there. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. And we're coming back to Luke here, so you may want to keep that. But Matthew chapter 6. We have in verse 1, doing alms. And in doing the alms, what did he say we have to be careful about in doing our alms? To be seen of them, was the phrase. So don't do your alms to be seen of them. Look at verse 2. Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have what? Glory of men. In verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. So in all those situations, what was the reason behind what Jesus was warning them not to do? The reason was, don't do your service to be seen of men. And this Pharisee had one desire. Number one, I'm impressed with myself. Number two, I want to impress others. I want them to see. Do you remember the story of that Jesus gave about the widow and her two mites? What did the rich man do before he cast in his money? Yeah, made a big scene and blew the trumpets and drew all the attention, and then he threw in his offering. But the widow cast in all she had, and hardly anyone but Christ noticed. So the question comes to us, then why was the publican, the one who was justified, the one who went down to his house justified? Well, the answer is, everything about him was centered on God. It wasn't centered on self, wasn't centered on others. Everything he was doing was centered on God. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He smote his own body. His only words that we hear are directly spoken to God. It's a simple prayer for mercy. It's a prayer for mercy because he knew that he was a sinner. He was in the temple, probably a crowd of people, but no one noticed, no one heard, no one saw, except God. This humble sinner called out to a holy God and confessed his unholiness. He was unimpressed with himself. He wasn't attempting to impress others. He only wanted to impress God. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. verse 8 says this: draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. This is what the publican was doing. But if you want to draw nigh to God and have him draw nigh to you, you have to be clean. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what the publican was practicing. Humbling himself. Not trying to impress anyone but God. I want to see if it's the same number here. Yes, would you all turn in your hymn books to 530? 530. This wonderful hymn by Lelia Morris, in the first verse says, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. But notice the words in verse 2. Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring. Not as an offering to Jesus my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Lelia Morris understood how to impress God. Not with anything she could bring, only her humility, admitting her sinfulness, and humbling herself and accepting the cleansing that comes from God. When I was in Australia a number of years ago, it was right at after the time of a new year had come in, and they had put some things on the bridge that crosses the harbor there at Sydney. It's a huge bridge. And on the bridge, there were a word was written across the bridge. Actually, two words. Mr. Eternity. I remember seeing those words on television because they were showing one evening on television how that different areas of the world were celebrating the new year, with their fireworks going off and welcoming in the new year. And Mr. Eternity was written on the bridge for all the world to see there in Sydney. And I couldn't understand why it was written there. I later found out why it was written there. Because there was a man that they were celebrating in their history whose nickname was Mr. Eternity. And Mr. Eternity, if you could read the whole life story of him, he had been a derelict. He had lived a very, very rough life involved with all kinds of sin. He had spent much time in prison. He now was homeless. He slept in a cemetery at night. He stumbled half drunk into a rescue mission in Sydney, and there heard the gospel for the first time, and he was gloriously saved. A few days later, he went to a church that was having special revival meetings. And the evangelist stood in the pulpit that night and said, "I wish I could shout the word eternity from every corner in Sydney." That man, who later became known as Mr. Eternity, could not even write his own name. But somehow he went out on the street that very night and had a piece of chalk in his pocket, and he wrote for the first time the word eternity on the sidewalk in perfect script. From that point on, for decades, he wrote the word eternity everywhere in Sydney. In fact, to this day, they are still finding places that he wrote the word eternity that they had not known about. They find it on the inside of bells up in the steeples of chapels. He wrote that word eternity everywhere. And there are books that have been written about this, and people give testimony that they have received Christ because that one word starts stirring their hearts so much. Guess what was true about Mr. Eternity? For decades and decades and decades, being in the newspaper, being investigated, nobody knew who Mr. Eternity was. He wasn't doing this to impress people. He wasn't doing this to even impress himself, I don't believe. He humbly did it for God. This publican did not see himself as a spiritual hero. He saw himself as a spiritual zero. A spiritual zero. I'm nothing. God is everything. You know, that's how we impress God. Humble yourself, and he will lift you up. There's no more blessed experience than coming away from a meeting with God, going down to your house justified. How to impress God, or how not to impress God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this passage that came right from the lips of Christ to a crowd of people that were trusting in their own righteousness and trusting in their own goodness and impressed with themselves and seeking to impress others. And yet God is not looking for those kind of people. He is looking for those who are impressed with him and recognize their need of him and recognize their unworthiness and Christ's worthiness. Father, help us to be those who humble ourselves before you and allow you to lift us up. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.